Welcome back to the Bitter Jury Podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Westhoff, and boy, does it feel good to be back on the mic talking about all things Big Brother. For any of you usual listeners, this will be 2 years in a row now where I've taken a little hiatus during some crucial parts of the Big Brother seasons, but I've done my homework, I've gotten caught up for the most part, and thankfully I had some co-hosts to get you all through the slow times while I was gone. So we are all back together here tonight. We've got a full panel, so let me just go ahead and get everyone introduced here. First, I'm going to start, as I always do, with my OG co-hosts. And if the group chat has any indication about the way this man feels about the cast, I know the takes will be hot tonight. Charles, welcome back to the podcast. How are you doing?
I poured an extra large, which you all may not see because it's super delayed. This is all
that is a big one.
Yeah. This cast is garbage. And at one point, they were offering me good reality TV, and now it's taken a turn, and I cannot say that. So, yeah, tonight's going to be fun.
Well, luckily, as usual, we may disagree about that point, so we will definitely dive into those details soon. Next up on deck, it's a duo here tonight. First, I'll throw it to Richard. Thank you for taking over hosting responsibilities while I was gone. Hopefully you've gotten all the rust off because Survivor is right around the corner. Welcome tonight, and also welcome to your friend Ben, who is not a first-time guest. He's a returning champion, as Gruskin would say. So welcome you both to the podcast. How are we doing tonight?
Yeah, a lot easier when we're in person because we can just share a mic, share a screen, you know. No need to make this any more long and complicated than it has to be. But Ben, I agree on some things, disagree on others. It's not the first time he's been on this pod. So hopefully we have any regular listeners. But if you are, you've heard them, some of them already. We're excited. We're excited. We're friends for a while.
I've gotten the finger thing down, so I should be all good for tonight. I'm very excited.
Glad you got the memo. I'm very excited to see how well you can fight over that mic because we know Richard's going to be all over it. So
he's known me for longer than you guys have. Trust me, he's used to it.
Well, last but certainly not least is who I will now claim is our resident live feed expert because since I took my trip, I had to check out for a little while from the live feed. So it's my sister, Sarah. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm going to be relying heavily on you for all of the crucial insights and stuff from the live feeds. But how are you doing? You took a bit of a hiatus, too. Are you excited to be back?
Yes. Honestly, I've been listening to the live feeds more than I've been listening to the episodes in general. So I agree with Charles on bits about the cast I'm struggling with in some points. The authenticity that's being thrown around and stuff like that. So excited to talk about it all again. I have so much news and thoughts.
Well, since it's been a minute since we've hopped on the pod, or at least Sarah and I have, I thought tonight we won't treat it as our like week by week episode where we just break down what happened last week. We've reached the jury phase. And so I thought, let's take a step back. Let's do a bit of a season recap, where we've gotten, how we've gotten here, and what our thoughts are overall. Before we dive into any of that, real quick, I did some extra homework before we started, and I know I already showed this to Sarah, Richard, and Ben pre-show, but Charles, I've got the results of our fantasy right now. Just a reminder, eviction order was Matt, Lisa, Kenny, Cedric, Brooklyn, Tucker, and Joseph. And the way it breaks down right now, Dalton and I are neck and neck for last place. We each have one player remaining with 1 point separating us. So Dalton has Cam. I have Angela. Honestly, I'd be more worried, but somehow Angela has been my strongest player on a team of Lisa, Matt, and Tucker. So I don't know. We never really picked a punishment. So thankfully, maybe I won't have to skydive, but I'll at least eat some hot wings for you all if I do end up losing.
Currently, we have a finger already.
Can I weigh in?
Sure, go ahead, because Richard is our current leader with 33, so I'll let you speak.
Personal thought, I think me, Sarah, and Charles should pick since we are kind of out of the woods in terms of unless Angela or Cam win the game, we're out of the woods. So I kind of think that we should pick the punishment.
unless
since we won't be directly
go to the end together, you're definitely out of the woods. They would literally both have to make final three to even have a shot at one of you other three losing. So I'm fine with that as long as I don't have to jump out of a plane. So. All right. With that in mind, it's kind of how I started off with you, Charles, but I'm going to let you now elaborate on it. So first thing here to kick us off, let's just talk about overall cast feelings here. I know that from some messages in the chat, you might think they are trash or terrible game players. Let me just pepper this in and then I'll let you take it there. I think, from my opinion, you know, the cast may not be the most strategic or exciting cast I've seen, you know, in the 26 years of this show, but how dumb some of their moves are and how dramatic some of them have been, whether it's with their love triangles or just their, or just Angela, I'll just put it that way. I think it's made for good TV. I know you may think differently. So Charles, let's kick it off here. What are your overall feelings about the cast of this season? And how does that reflect upon how entertaining of a season it's been overall? As he chugs a big drink before answering.
Needs all the
help. Know,
turning the lights off?
Right. You know, I thought about that. I thought about not even turning it on in the first place. But, you know, again, it started out strong. You know, personalities are strong. Game playing strong. You know, my boy King Tucker was there. So overall, it was a great vibe. Now it's like everyone who has no fucking clue how to play the game of being Big Brother is just completely exposed. So now as I watch the terrible decisions and the conversations that go nowhere of Takor, who's even on my draft team, just saying, and just going along with whatever gets said in the room around her. Like, it's boring. It's so ridiculously boring to me. I feel as if, you know, Joseph, who's now gone, and like, I kind of tried to like him at one point, but to literally say, cool, I'm going to go through the whole season and purposely try to not win anything. Like, what the fuck is you all's problem? Like, give me something. And, you know, this is me being a bit redundant because obviously you all get the group text, but I told you so. Like, this cast is terrible. They made terrible decisions. And I told you Angela was going to fucking make it all the way to the end. And here we are. She has made it to jury. And I can almost assure you she's going to be in the top five at least. I said it from day one. I hate that I believe that. But this Angela is going to go far.
Well, I'm going to push back just a little bit there because, yeah, I do agree. Like, the Josephs of the world thinking he can take a dance strategy. Anyone who goes in the house thinking I'm going to take the dance strategy, I think has a warped view of how to win this game. But T-Core, it was T-Core and Chemo who flipped the house to get Cedric out, I believe. This was I was on pods only that week. But I do agree. They take their sweet time making certain moves. But other house guests too, I meant to say this in the opening, but we have had the veto used every single week. And so whether or not the players are strategic, they're at least active. Do I have a point, Richard?
Yeah, except for
one. I'll agree with that.
Except for one, I will reiterate what I said on our last episode when it was me, Ben, and Charles that Wesoff and Sarah haven't heard yet. With all respect, I think he's a wonderful human being. I'm sure he is. His smile is great. But Cam is a piece of furniture, okay?
Yes.
Cam does not do a damn thing, okay? Listen, everybody is active except for Cam. Did he win HOH?
No.
Or anything?
He got close.
I don't care. He hasn't done anything.
He won Vito over Tucker with the ball.
Great. Wonderful. Don't really care. I still think T-Core has done more than Cam. I think everybody in the house has done more than Cam. Again, think he's a wonderful person. I'm sure he is. Smile is great. Great pose on the profile that we've seen many memes of. I don't think that this cast is like completely awful. I think it is better than last season's. I think when we think of it in reference, I have enjoyed this season of BB much more than last season. I don't know. I think the players overall are just, it's not that it's a bad, I don't think it's necessarily that it's a bad cast. I think it's necessarily like more so that they're just bad players. And it goes back to something that Ben has said earlier tonight before we recorded, and something that we said last pod that I think is just like a general thing that both of us agree on. It is a matter of when, okay, Survivor is consistently good. Big Brother can be great, is occasionally great. It, it's just that this is one of those moments where Survivor is like, where Big Brother is not being consistently good, but occasionally great. It will have its moments. I think Tucker going off in comps is one of those, you know, highlight moments of the season. It's why, you know, Charles has enjoyed the chaos, but I think it's just this season is one of those where it's just not overall good, Ben.
Yeah,
well, hold on. I want to say I appreciate the finger, Ben. Welcome to the group. I see you're on the ins now. As you make your point here, I also want to just ask you, since you're new to at least my learning about how you see the show, what do you look for in a good season? Are you looking for strategy? Are you looking for drama? Are you like Dalton, our other co-host, who's just looking for love triangles? What do you see as a good season?
Well, I've had Tubina on. I'm in two drafts, one with Richard and one with my family. I've had Rubina on my team for both of those, so obviously I was all in on Tubina. I don't really hate showmances as much as a lot of people do, but when it comes to the show, I'm just looking to have fun. I am looking for, I think chaos is definitely what I look for. Like, it's good to see some nice strategy. It's good to see the drama. But if I'm having fun and, like, you know, talking to the people that I talk to about Big Brother and every single week being like, I have no idea what's going to happen. Like, there are so many different parts that could be going on. Like, that's what I love in a show like this. And that's how I felt, like, especially just week four, you know, just like being so scared that this flip against Cedric was going to happen, you know, just like following feeds all day as T-Core and Chemo like woke up and said, all right, you know, let's do what we have to the Pentagon. Like, I love that sort of feeling of like, you know, just that unexpected, like, you know, who knows what's going to happen, you know, expect the unexpected is what they always say. And I, you know, I really kind of like that. So honestly, I'm still enjoying this cast. I understand that they really are not good players in the slightest, but I don't really need that. I'm enjoying just watching the chaos unfold and just watching these, you know, insane personalities keep clashing. And I'm excited to see how it all ends.
It's 2 weeks in a row where Ben and I have driven back to my place to watch Big Brother, and we're just like, we have no idea what's going on, and we love it.
Yeah, well, Sarah, as I get your opinion on that finally, I also want to point out, I think, have we even had a straight vote of, you know, all one way?
A non-unanimous
vote. Wow, that's going to be a rough night if I'm missing that. But I don't think we've had a unanimous vote yet this season. So, Sarah, what does that say about the season overall? And then, as you answer that, also throw in where I want to go next, which is, who do you think currently in the house still is playing the best game?
Yeah, I think there are a bunch of little pods of alliances around the house. There's like three people here, three people there, you know, it's more like small alliances. So I don't really see like a unanimous vote being possible at this point. And I also think like everyone in the house, like, thinks about the person they're voting out sometimes instead of like playing cutthroat in the game. And so they're like, oh, I don't want to hurt their feelings. I'm not going to vote them out, you know? And I think a lot of the areas that like people are struggling with the cast of this season is because a lot of the people that have been cast this season have shown just like a little bit of like a lack of authenticity or being genuinely themselves. Like, you can definitely tell some are like still performing for the camera, and we're like, how many weeks into this? And it's just like, it doesn't come natural to everyone. And like, that's okay. But I think, like, you know, maybe we didn't need to bring like previous Dr. Phil contestants on, you know, like, this show was founded on just like the average American and not like pulling people from other reality shows. And that's what's so appreciated about it. And that's what brings such natural DRs, because these are just regular people. Like, in some ways, I do feel like Angela performs for the camera. And a lot of that is like attention, you know, but I don't know. I think some of that is just like the cast in itself. But regards to like who I think is playing a really good game right now, I would say Chelsea for sure. But I don't know for sure if Chelsea would win sitting in those final two chairs, like right at this moment. I think she's playing an okay game, but I think she's, Charles, I think that she also is like trying to get her legs to stand on. Charles, I would disagree a little bit with your statement of Decor is doing nothing, because I think that she's kind of like this hidden snake in the competition, like snake in a good way, not in a bad way. Like, you don't hear her coming, but she's like always in everyone's ear. Like, you won't tell me different. She was the one who got the vote flipped to keep Kima last week and to get rid of Joseph. Like, they made it look like Chelsea and blah, blah, blah. But like, Chelsea would have never had those ideas or thoughts if T-Core wasn't like, yeah, so how about Joseph? You know? So I do think that she's playing a good game as well. And like, obviously, I'm kind of basing these on low standards, because I think the strategic game of this season is like pretty subpar to low par strategy going on. I think that they brought a lot of super fans on that maybe like binge the show, you know, or watch the last few seasons and call themselves a super fan. But like, if you're going to put a married mother on the show, like, you better put a real super fan married mother on the show.
Says a married mother.
Referring to yourself.
Yes, obviously. But in terms of anyone else, I think Quinn lacks authenticity, which makes it hard for people to connect with him. And
well, let me throw this to Charles, because I know it'll be hardest for him to answer. You know, making you pick one, is there someone in the house who you see is playing above and the other, you know, what are there left? 8 players? So is there someone playing better than the other 7 in your mind? Not good, but at least better than the others and has the best chance to win.
Oh gosh. That's really tough for me to answer. You know, I'll start with saying, like, you know, to kind of rebuttal Sarah a little bit, like, I recognize that T-Core's in conversations, but even watching the live feeds, like, she's not initiating anything. Like, she's agreeing to things that were brought up to her. And I don't count that as playing for yourself. And I do agree, like, she did throw out the, like, okay, what about Joseph? But, like, again, she's become a, I don't want to say casualty, because she hasn't been a casualty, but she's just become an accessory to so many other people, where I would give Kimo more props than her. And because she's aligned herself with him socially, that's a great thing. But watching her as an individual, I can't deal with it. And I will say, side note that I took, does anyone else know what the superstition about getting shit on your head by a bird is?
Right, it can't be good, right?
Good it's luck. Actually supposed to be a sign of good luck.
Oh, really?
Because yeah. The probability of getting bird shit on your head is like astronomical, to the point that it's like more than like getting struck by lightning or winning the lottery, that they've said that if it happens to you, that you have good luck. So if she wins, this is me officially saying that her getting shit on her head by that bird.
She also has good luck because she never volunteered to be a pawn on the block. Like, the first time you ever volunteer to be a pawn on the block, like, people will use you as a pawn until you're gone. Like, for real.
Yeah.
Kimo should have, from the start of the season, should have never volunteered himself to be a pawn on the block, which immediately puts T'Kor's game because she's never been like, yeah, you know, I'll go up.
This has been a season of volunteering. Tucker, Cam,
it's outrageous. It's outrageous. Yeah. Let's talk about it.
Pawns go home.
That's crazy.
Well, talking about the biggest pawn ball, Richard and Ben, let me throw this over to you all. You're just going to be my tandem duo for the night, so just take it as it is. But Tucker, big port theme of the beginning half of this season, seems to be probably on track to be America's favorite player. Where do you see him ranking among the comp beasts in recent history? The Michaels, I don't want to say Janelle's because obviously she's way above. He didn't even last a half season, but where do you put him amongst those? And then on the flip, I guess, yeah, we'll just stick there. I've got other questions that we'll get to later, but let's just stick with Tucker. Overall, the impression of the way he played the game.
I don't think I would put him above Bruner. It's close. I don't think I'd put him above Bruner.
I don't.
But he's high. And if you're talking about like recent seasons, so let's say like what 20 on?
Not many people would go above Michael Bruner.
No, there's not many that are above Michael Bruner.
Maybe Jag, just for the sheer amount he was able to win just in a row.
Above or under?
I don't know. That's the tough part.
Or somewhere, somewhere around Jag.
Somewhere around. I like that's tough. It's somewhere around. I would say. I don't know. As for Tucker, I think it's interesting because he got clipped way before Michael or Jag ever did. Granted, Jag would have been clipped if it wasn't for Matt, but that's a whole other thing.
Does that make his strategy respectable, or is that like, great, he went on a run, but you should never play like that because of look what it did?
I think I would agree with you. I think just, you know, it's good that he had the vibes. It's good that he went on the run he did. But I mean, as we were saying, pawns go home no matter how confident you are stepping into the AI arena. And I will say that is that's a smart strategy to sort of pawn your way around the AI arena, but you never know who's going to win, as evidenced by Tucker doing the puzzle backwards and going home. And it's just like, you know, even if the AI arena is in play, you never know who's going to be able to pull out the win. And the moment you're on the block, whether you win that or not, people are going to wonder, hey, is this going to be beneficial for our games to get this person out? It's inevitable, no matter if you are, you know, the like a guaranteed pawn. So I think in terms of where Tucker ranks in comp beasts, I think it is like, if we're talking about Michael and Jag as the best of the, you know, new era, so to speak, of Big Brother, I would definitely put him third, but I definitely think his run was sort of, it was a sight to behold. It was great to see him just keep racking up the wins.
I think the difference between, you go ahead, Richard.
I don't know if this is what you were going to say, Sarah, but for me, the big thing with Bruner is he really did win when he had to. And it wasn't, Tucker put himself in that position. Bruner didn't, right? This is a sheer fact of like, he won them when he had to, when he needed to. They were the definition of clutch. And sure, you can say Tucker's were clutch, but at the same time, he put himself in that position. He allowed himself to be a pawn. Pawns go home, sucks to suck. I mean, if this was a thing of, oh, somebody's targeting Tucker outside of his own volition and someone put Tucker up and he's winning it when he had to, I think it would make the wins count for more. Because I think, at least for me personally, when you're looking at comp wins, I don't look sheerly at the number. I look at the value. Did you win when you had to? Was the situation where your back is up against the wall? That matters, I think. And that's why, to me, Bruner's in my top three of recent seasons, and there's not many people that are going to get up to his level.
I have a quick question during the portion that I missed. Sorry, you're going to hear dogs in the background drinking water per usual. From the week that I missed, when Tucker did go home, he volunteered for the block, and then I watched the final two episodes of that week where he was saying, you know, T'Kor, I volunteered, but you didn't have to put me up. Like, I did that for you. Was it out of the blue that he volunteered, or did she kind of put him in a box and he said, fine, I'll do it anyway? Or was it completely like, didn't have to happen, and he just did it because it was just like part of his like pitch, like, I'm your ally, I'll go up on the block, but hoping it didn't happen. Like, I'd never really figured out what was the context of that volunteer.
He like nonchalantly mentioned it, like, you know, oh well, if you need someone, then, you know, I owe you one, or I'll go up, or whatever.
It's a casual thing.
Yeah. But like, not the smartest move. I think the difference between Tucker's game and Jag and Michael's game is that Tucker didn't care what other people thought about him, which is like a big part of like his personality trait. But when you walk into the Big Brother house, you have to consider what other people think
about
him.
Good in life, bad in BB.
Right, right. And so like Jag was always very like he would amend things, you know. Michael was always very quiet to himself, you know. So definitely two different characters. What do you have to say about that, Richard and Charles?
Oh, well, no, I'll go really quickly.
Yeah, go.
I think you all know where I'll go with this, but like I think that's bad for recent Big Brother, because I've said this time and time again. Like,
yeah, it's
again,
like an evil dick personality.
Yeah, it's that personality. Like, you are in a game setting. It should not matter if you're getting outplayed, right? That shouldn't be something, whether social media and what you're thinking of the enemy you're going to be when you get out. Again, like, you know what? If you're going to troll my social media when I get off this, off of the show, when I get out of this game, if I've won $750,000, troll me all the fuck you want. I'm going to be in the Maldives, deuces up. I've moved on, right? Now, I also know that those things aren't easy, right? Because you're now an instant small-time celebrity, so dealing with that stuff has a mental toll and all this stuff. You know what? Turn your social media off. You're going to be on a vacation somewhere and you can say, screw it to these people. So no, like I agree with and get that point, but it's just like, I feel like the show has just been so far removed from what it was built on that like, you can't have people be that evil person anymore because everybody's so afraid to be butthurt and afraid of what's gonna happen after that.
Yeah, I'll go real quick. I just—
Sorry, Richard, we didn't put the finger up and you did.
Here's my— I will say though, Charles, that I don't think it's an evolution of the game that people are scared to act like that. I think it's an evolution of the game that people saw the evil dicks of the world play like that and get clipped. And therefore it's part of now the lexicon of, if I'm in the house, don't act like that because it makes you a target. And then if you're not a big enough fan, like I assume Tucker probably isn't a super fan, you go in thinking it's a game show, I'm going to play like that. And you didn't do your homework enough to know that that's what gets you out of the house first because you're a big target. So I'm not sure if it's a what came first, chicken or the egg there. But
yeah, good point.
Yeah. Well, Richard, make your point, and then I want you to elaborate. Because we're talking about Tucker, the king of the AI arena, I want to know thoughts on the AI arena. And is this something that we could see stick around maybe in future seasons?
You see me and Ben grinning like the Cheshire Cat because we're fans of this twist. No, my point was to go off of what you and Charles said. I think it should not be a fear of if this is going to backfire social media wise, because I think what we've seen over the past few seasons is if you look at the reception of Tucker by social media, there's a reason why we opened this by saying that he will likely be the AFP at the or AFH at the end of this season. Right. We've loved him because he was that player. I think it plays way more into what Westhoff was saying of these types of players are getting clipped. I think to not have a bad reputation on social media, all you need to do is not be a human social dick. As long as you are not a jerk, like a literal jerk to people, you will do fine. Like, no one's going to come after you. Also, as long as your actions in the house are clean. Somebody told me that Quinn has not brushed his teeth in 18 days. I don't know. But moving on, I was also just going to make the point of...
He and Turner can be good friends.
I completely forgot what I was going to say about Tucker, which, you know what? Miracles do happen, America. But to move on to AI Arena, I mean, Ben and I are big fans of this twist. I think... I'd like to say, in continuation of what we said last episode, can we give it up for the fact that people are going off into rooms and having a conversation? Thank you very much. Doing what we hoped for, what this twist was intended to do. I know Charles, Ben, and I were cheering about that one last time. No, I think this twist, in my personal opinion, one of the better twists that production has come up with. This to me is the best. This is something that Ben and I have spoken about. To me, this is the best twist on how evictions and nominations work that they have made. Like, this is better than, like, Battle of the Block, all that stupid crap. Like, this was actually effective. And with the right cast, this could be a very effective twist that does give us more chaos and more entertaining television and more dynamic gameplay.
Ben, I see you've got a point to make. Also, why does this twist work? What is it about the twist that makes it, you know, such a, you know, interesting factor in how the nomination eviction process is working?
The unpredictability of who your final noms could
be. Exactly what I was going to say, because I remember, like, watching the feeds this week and just kind of being like, okay, you know, okay, Chelsea won HOH, okay, Mackenzie won veto, okay, Angela's off the block, so now, and then I saw that it was just Kimo and Quinn, and my first thought was immediately, oh man, I wonder who's what's going to happen depending on who wins the arena this week. It is that unpredictability, which is why I think the twist works so well, because, you know, a lot of those big moments that I loved this season of walking into a Thursday night and being like, I have no idea what's going to happen. It all depends on who wins this comp. I think it's worked well. I mean, you know, Battle of the Block is not a high bar to clear, but I think they soared over it for sure. Yeah, I think it really is just that unpredictability, you know, never knowing who's going to go home, never knowing if a plan can flip, and just that, you know, idea when they finally started to do it of pulling people into rooms and, like, actually talking, trying, you know, their best to, you know, make their case. It can provide for, again, some insane strategy, as we saw with Joseph going home, with Cedric going home, and a lot of funny moments. I think easily one of my favorite moments of the season still is during the Cedric eviction, Brooklyn telling Rubina, like, hey, it's all love, you know, there's no, you know, no hard feelings, but I do have to evict you. And then cut to, like, 5 minutes later when Cedric got evicted and Brooklyn is stunned. It's moments like that. And even last week when, you know, just Quinn's just absolutely crushed expression when Joseph got evicted. I think this twist, you know, did wonders in terms of just how fun Thursday night eviction episodes can be. And, you know, honestly, I wouldn't, and this is the, like, first time I said this in a long time about a Big Brother twist, I would not be mad at all if they kept this going, at least for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I know Sarah and I are coming from, I always say, the school of Taryn, where twists are negatively looked upon. I think this is a win-win, though. It created that unpredictability, the mystery going into Thursday night. And I think production also gets a big win, because every week is like a double eviction, because you have a live competition where the result matters hugely, because it, you know, takes a different combination of what the block will look like. And so I absolutely think this could be something we see become a more permanent feature, especially in the early jury phase, pre-jury phases. We lost Charles there, so hopefully we get him
back. He said he's joining on his phone.
Gotcha. Okay.
Well, might want to cut this out.
Yeah. I don't know. We may just keep it live. This is the new me, the one take West off here. So, but in the meantime, I've got two other questions I want to hit on before we close tonight, as we bring Charles back into the fold. Now, Sarah, I'm going to send this over to you. So we've reached the jury phase. Which pre-jury member do you think you got cut too early and you wish was still around and could have made a big impact on this game?
I mean, obviously, I would probably say Tucker. You know, he was tumultuous. Oh, and
I meant to qualify this question by saying, without saying Tucker, because that's
okay. Everybody okay.
I meant to say
I'm trying to, like, spell out his name with my hands.
We lost Kenny.
Like,
we lost Lisa.
Yeah. I'll name it. So in the order again, Matt, Lisa, Kenny, Cedric, Brooklyn, Tucker, Joseph.
I have my answer.
I mean, if not choosing Tucker, I would definitely say Cedric. I liked watching him play. I think it was interesting watching from a perspective of, no, he had never seen the game, but he actually studied, like, the analytics of the game before coming on the show. So, like, he studied, like, how to play strategically. And I think he could have gotten far. He probably could have gotten farther if he had actually watched the seasons and the episodes, just knowing, like, the social aspect of it and to never volunteer for the block and, like, stuff like that he knows now coming off of the show. But I would have definitely enjoyed seeing more from him. And maybe they'll return him 1 year. Who knows?
Yeah. Charles, anyone else besides Tucker you wishing Lisa was back on the show?
I can't handle that.
I mean, but she's been back. She had I'm coming back with my bucket of edible glitter.
Did she get, you know, side dished there? Because it was a bunch of scary, like spooky things, and then her. So I think that was implying that she might be a little scary.
I kind of thought that too. Now my answer to that question, Tucker. Yeah, that's the one. No, I'll agree with Sarah though. Cedric, I wasn't the biggest fan, and you know, he studied, you know, maybe didn't study enough, you know, saying, hey, I'm going to volunteer to be on the block to help build my resume. That's not something I can remember anyone ever saying. So, you know, I feel as if there was a lot of potential there. I have truthfully really liked some of the social media of, you know, Cedric and Jag. They actually had a little thing that they did together, which was really funny. But no, other than that, you know, you all knew from the jump that I thought this cast was going to be hot garbage. So everybody that's gone, you can be gone. And yeah.
Yeah. I have noticed on social media, Cedric has been hanging out with like the BB recent alumni crew. So
yeah,
he got adopted in real quick. Ben and Richard, anyone else you wish you would have made it past jury?
No, Fitz and Philosophies, man. No, if anybody's seen Cedric's Instagram, that is also hands down the cringiest thing I will ever do on air. Please do not clip that.
I need my own camera back. I can't do this. can't work in these conditions.
Lest we remind ourselves that Ben and I lived together for a year. No, I hate to sound like a broken record, and I think Ben will agree with me. It's gotta be Cedric. I think he contributed the most to this house, both as a personality and as a player. I think that the status of this house would be fairly different if he just didn't sign up to be a pawn. I think he was actually like involved in conversations, and unlike Cam and T-Core, contributing to them, initiating them at times. I would prefer him over some people that are still remaining in the house on that sheer purpose of he was contributing more to the game.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, obviously everyone's saying Tucker and Cedric, and those are very much the correct answers just because of how they influenced the game, you know, what they did bring to the game. I thought they were both good players. I'd like to see them back. I would also say, and this is just like this is my weird morbid curiosity speaking, a part of me kind of wants to know how this season would have gone had Matt stayed in the house. Because Matt is, you know, exactly as called out, the archetype that very much makes it far in Big Brother. And when you don't have a psychopathic woman as HOH, he probably makes it past that first week. And there is a good chance that it could have been a lot of what was happening in that first week. He's stuck in the storage room with just him and Mackenzie and maybe Leah, and he probably goes home pre-jury anyway. But I'm curious to see if the whole crazy eyes thing didn't happen, if he wasn't called out in front of the house, just how his game would have taken shape should he have stayed. With that said, I have no desire to really ever see him again because I think his social media presence is way more cringy than Cedric's. So still Tucker and Cedric.
I'm very glad that no one said anybody else other than those two. Like if anybody had said anybody except for Matt and Cedric, I would have been gravely disappointed in you. Oh my gosh, please.
I haven't gotten yet. Not fully all the way in because I missed a few weeks, but I was going to throw out there maybe a little Brooklyn. She was a bit of a catalyst for things in the house. Not that they were good, but she made some things move.
Nope.
I get it.
I'm sorry. The married mothers brought on this season did not.
Oh, yes. We got the darkness.
Look, you have to have at least one spicy cupcake in the Big Brother house every season. That's just the fact.
Wow. Yeah,
we have a psychotic spicy cupcake, and that's enough for me. That's well more than enough for me.
It's more like a fireball shot.
Ooh, that sounds good. I have some in my freezer. I may have that.
All right. Well, to wrap it up here, I want to go around the horn one more time and everyone make a prediction. Who's going to win this game, or at least who has the best path and should win this game? Sarah, we'll start with you.
Well, I was just thinking that if Angela won this game, I'd probably never watch it again.
I think I agree.
Richard sees the final survivor purism step.
Honestly.
She wins this game. I genuinely will switch to survivor purism. I swear to God.
You're
already a survivor purist. What?
Ask Ben. What I'm not fully joking. I'm not there yet. I'm like 99% there.
Whatever. Ben's on my side. He agrees with me. It's fine.
You know, so right off the bat, who do I picture, you know, making it to the end? Is that your question?
Yeah. Or like, who, like, not going off of you want to win the fantasy draft, which player in the game either deserves to, or do you think will win Big Brother 26?
I mean, there are a few players that I could see winning. But I think, right now, obviously, I think Chelsea is probably the number one pick to be like the winner at the end of the season. But I also think that the season is not over yet. And she's already putting, you know, she's an influential player in the game. She will have that target on her back later down the road moving forward. So I also think that Takor has a chance of winning if she ends up owning her moves of the game and she doesn't just kind of go in the pecking order of just explaining mm-hmm. how she was nice to everyone in the game. I think that mm-hmm. she'd have a chance. But then, you know, I also mm-hmm. see Leah kind of like slithering up and maybe throwing a couple things.
Wow, Daniel turned a nose up.
If
to that.
She doesn't, mm-hmm. if she doesn't get herself evicted mm-hmm. first, so. But we're likely to see. Yeah, I'm not going to give any spoilers, but
mm-hmm.
it's going to be an interesting week.
Is that a prediction, Richard? You want to go ahead and make yours here?
No, I just the sheer fact that Sarah said T-Core, I was like, yeah, let's just this one. I think Chelsea, to kind of rebuttal what Sarah said, I'm not fully confident that these people are like strategically smart enough to take out Chelsea. I think it's not Cam, it's not Angela. God, I hope it ain't Angela. But if Please. She ends up at the final two, she'll cry, weep, let the fireworks, let the waterworks run and see what happens.
This is my dream.
My favorite part is she doesn't
I
want to
be
to.
A part of this so bad. I'll if be the bottom name, of the totem pole.
My name let were up me. There with the winners. I would be humbled. I will pay all of you if I win. I'll pay all of you.
If she makes it to final two and doesn't give an Enzo BB22 style speech where you just give all credit to the other person, I'll be sorely disappointed. But I know she's just going to cry and cry and cry.
If she wins this season, I would be shocked if she didn't run for president.
What the fuck, Sarah?
It's my dream. I want to be in the Oval Office.
Hurry, Dr. No. Phil 2028. Let's go. Oh
my no. I think Chelsea has a shot. I don't hate the idea that T-Cor has a chance. I think depending on who sits next to her, she does. And also the way that she advocates for her game. But I think T-Cor winning is heavily dependent on who sits at the chair next to her. If she is sitting next to Cam and Angela and takes ownership of her moves, she has a shot. I don't think Quinn has much of a shot. I think Rubina does if she plays up the underdog story. And MJ and Leah have some virtual shot, again, based on who sits next to them in the final two.
I wouldn't say MJ.
Okay.
I think it all depends on who sits next to you. Everything is dependent on who sits down next to you. And if you put MJ next to MJ
is not going to win, guaranteed. Next to Cam? Hands down. Yes, I think Cam would win over MJ. Yes. I think MJ.
What does he take ownership over?
He has a winning smile.
Yeah.
I mean, sure. I don't know.
Sure. Exactly. Are you gonna vote for somebody that sits there and cannot genuinely, like, okay,
any
most juries will ask you what
MJ
your big move was. What the fuck is Cam gonna say? I want to veto.
Any moves that MJ has made has been based on someone else.
Could be social game too.
He was also in way more alliances than MJ ever was. He was always way more included than MJ ever was. He was with Chelsea. He was with MJ. He's with Leah.
Okay, but here's the thing, Sarah. You asked the man what he did. What is a move that he actually did? She can't say anything except for following the curve.
No, but the season's not over yet. Like, I honestly don't think he's stepped up to let himself shine just yet. But I definitely...
We're all waiting for that.
MJ is definitely playing like... she's like piggybacking on someone else's game. You know, she's not really playing her own game at this
point. I'm not saying she will win. I'm saying depending on who's next to her, she can.
But he's not like piggybacking off of someone else's ideas when he's in a line of power.
See, you know what? I'm gonna go ahead and jump in here. I was gonna wait. I was gonna let Ben go first.
Uh-oh.
One, Chelsea's jealousy and how she feels some kind of way about Cam talking to Leah and MJ, get the fuck out of here with that. Like, when that shit comes to the surface, she's about to get her ass up out of there. MJ is my dark horse because she is now playing that. Yes. Like, she literally has had no one. She has been there. She has fought her way off the block and she's literally chilling in that middle ground now. If you get her in a competition because she's a college athlete, she is going to dig in, and she is now my dark horse because truthfully, again, everybody else is kind of garbage. I'm not the biggest fan of hers either, but she even says it herself, like, I have nobody. And the people that have nobody and are able to stick around and find a way to win and get there, she's gonna, if you let her freaking make it a couple more weeks, she's gonna step up. That's my dark horse, MJ. Bring it on.
I also think she would do a good job in taking ownership of moves and actually like advocating for herself because of like what Charles is saying. Like, we've seen her start to take more ownership of her game recently.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a huge part of it. I know some of y'all disagree with me on it, but like, I think a huge part is that finale speech and how you take ownership of moves, how you take ownership of a game and kind of flip whatever the frick you did for 90, however many days on its head and make it a real argument for yourself of what you did that is tangible and seen in this game.
Yeah. Sort of going off that. Yeah. Just like on your thing about jury speeches, I was fully convinced last season that Matt had it won. And then Jag stood up and made his speech. And I, you know, comparing that to I went to rock, paper, scissors. I was willing to do that. I was like, OK, maybe there's a more convincing argument here. So I agree with Richard. I think that's a big thing. As for who I think is, you know, winning this season, I think Chelsea is probably the obvious answer at this point, or at least the common answer, just because she's made good social bonds. She's shown that she can win comps. I think she is someone who is willing to take ownership of her moves. So I can absolutely see her getting to the end and winning. But I would also agree that I think MJ is high up there and win
equity. My boy!
I genuinely think, you know, I think she can claim the comp wins. I think she, you know, it depends on how she frames her game. So I could definitely see her taking it. You know, I think that could be a nice surprise. And I think she's going to be the type of person who knows who she wants to take to the end and then start really formulating a plan to get there. So I could see that happening for sure. And then any one of the trio of T-Core, Chemo, and Rubina, I think might have a shot, except for maybe Rubina. I'm not too sure on that. But I definitely think T-Core and maybe even Chemo, again, just depending on how they own their moves, could get there. That's going to be really interesting to see, especially if somehow, some way they make Final Two together. And now you're going to have the two, you know, the two people who have been probably the closest the whole season, just in terms of strategy, now duking it out to try and out, you know, shine one another and say, oh no, this move was mine. Oh no, this move was mine. So honestly, I think that would be just a really fun Final Two to see. But I think, again, if I had to pick one person right now, it would probably be Chelsea, but I'm very interested to see how whoever gets evicted this week will then affect the rest of the jury house.
All right, I guess I'll go last. And fun fact before I close this out, I've been holding this mic the whole time and I just realized it's using the wrong mic. So this was just a prop, guys. In my opinion, Chelsea and T-Core are the only two deserving at the moment. I can see McKenzie and Cam both making a few more moves and being deserving. And everyone else, I think, has a ways to go. If Quinn, Angela, or Leah win the season, I think it's a bitter jury because I don't think they can do much more that can make it deserving. And yeah, overall, I think it's got to be Chelsea or T-Core. So hopefully we get a woman winner this season. We'll see. There's a lot of time left. A lot of moves can be made. We've seen people like Xavier really come on second half of the season. That could be like a Cam type thing. Although Cam's been talking big game for a while, and I think he still has only 1 minute. So we'll see. But with that, I thank you all for joining me tonight. Appreciate having a full panel back. Maybe next time we'll even get Dalton on here and bring the whole group together. But to those listening, thanks for joining us tonight. Make sure you rate and subscribe us wherever you're listening. And hopefully we'll be back like next week. Let's just do it again more often. How about that, guys? Thanks, guys, for listening. And we'll talk to you guys soon.